Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just rejoicing and thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house to worship. We ask, Lord, that you be with those who couldn't be here for whatever reason and those who are listening over the airwaves and the internet. And just, I think about our shut-ins, Lord, and there's so many in our congregation that can't be here because of physical reasons. And we just ask that you put your arms of comfort around them and bless them and keep them. You're close to you. And be with us during this time, Lord, and help us to draw closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 431. 431. Number 431, God of our Fathers.
Seated. And there was one announcement I meant to make before. And today, or tomorrow, rather, is Memorial Day. And if you would, stop and think about what that means. We're honoring those who gave their life for you and I to live free. And I just, as somebody that's retired military, I want you to think about that. And if you would, take your bulletin now and let's turn to the inside cover and do the shorter catechism question 21 and 22 together this morning. 21 reads, who is the Redeemer of God's elect?
The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was, and continues to be, God and man in two distinct natures, and one person forever.
How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man?
Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost and in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born of her, yet without sin.
And at this time, as we come to a time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it reads, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
And as Bob just said, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And so we will be doing our annual tribute, The Mansions of the Lord.
Where no rock is higher.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your storehouse. And we ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver. And Lord, help us to be discerning and wise in the use of these funds to further your kingdom, not only here locally, but abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
You know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and Memorial Day is a day for remembering and also for showing our gratitude, not only for those who have surrendered their lives, but also for those who have served. And I would just like to ask as we begin, if you have served in the military to defend our country, if you would stand up, we'd like to applaud you and thank you for your service. If you've served in the military, please stand. God bless you and thank you for the sacrifice. Let's bow now as we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, as we stand on the eve of a day when we remember those who have given their lives that we might have freedom, we remember our Lord and our Savior who surrendered his life. It wasn't taken from him, but he willingly gave it up for us. He gave his life for us. So, Father, I pray that as we celebrate Memorial Day, we would also celebrate a God who loves us and who cares for us. Our Father, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit might move in each one of our hearts, that you would open us up to the truth of your gospel, and, Lord, that you would help us to shine like lights in the middle of darkness. Lord, we recognize that our society is perishing. And, Lord, the darkness creeps in stronger and stronger in every area. So, Lord, we pray that those who hold the gospel of Jesus Christ precious might witness to you and that that light would shine even brighter in the darkness. Our Father, we pray for the continued ministry of Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. And we ask, Lord, that you would put protection around those in our congregation who are placing their faith and trust in you, that you would hold us together as your people and strengthen us. Our Father, we do pray for those who have special needs this morning, for those who are suffering from physical difficulties. And Lord, we remember Catherine Gibson. We pray that you would continue to touch her physically and heal her, and also Tom Gibson, that you would strengthen them as a couple. They're so dear to all of us. Lord, we pray for Danny Colvin this morning and ask that you continue to heal his ribs. Suffering a cracked rib from that accident, we pray that you would heal him completely. And Lord, we know that there are others who are having physical problems and difficulties, and we ask that your Holy Spirit, even in this moment, would go out and touch each one, that, Lord, they might know that the God of all creation cares about them, that you would give them physical relief during this time. Father, for those who are suffering emotional distress today, for those who are suffering from a fear of the future or a fear of want, Lord, we pray that by your grace and mercy that you would relieve them of that fear, even as you told us to cast our anxieties onto you because you care for us. Lord, we pray that your loving mercy might extend to each heart and that we would lift you up in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 176. Please stand and we'll sing this together, Be Thou My Vision, 176.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning, and this is found in the Gospel of John. And this will be John chapter 15, and reading verses 12 to 17. Some years ago, somebody asked Billy Graham what was his favorite passage in the whole Bible. And he told them that his favorite passage was John chapter 15, the entire chapter, because it shows such a tender love that the Father has for us as his people. This is John chapter 15, and reading verses 12 to 17. And hear now the word of God. Now, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And these things I command you, so that you will love one another. And may God add to understanding this portion of his holy word. You know, we celebrate a very special day tomorrow. It's a day that's not only linked to us physically, but also spiritually. Tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day, a time when we remember those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. I remember hearing of a father that took his son to a church in their area. It wasn't a church that they normally attended, but it was a very large church. And he walked in with his young son about 10 years old, and they were walking down this hallway, and it had pictures on the walls. And these were pictures of different individuals that had gone to war from that church and who had given their lives. And so the son asked the father, "Dad, what are these pictures about?" And he said, "Well, son, these are pictures of people who have died in the service." And the boy, wide-eyed, looked at his father and he said, "In the 9:30 or the 11 o'clock?" You know, as we grow older, we have a harder time remembering things. My brother and his wife and son are staying with us right now, and we reminisce and we talk about things. And what's really great is that the things that I forget, he remembers, and some of the things he forgets, I remember. And so we go back and forth again. And I don't know if any of you have these problems when you start to talk about somebody and you can picture them completely, but you can't think of their name. And have a hard time remembering things. And, you know, there's a physiological reason for this. And that is that as we grow older, we have less of a decreased blood flow to our brain. And so it's harder and harder to remember things. Have you ever found yourself trying to remember something and you can't remember it? And then you wake up in the middle of the night and there it is. You can just say it right away, you know? Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not there. And a lot of people get concerned about this, but the truth is it's all normal. That's normal aging process, decreased blood flow to the brain. And it affects everybody. It affects all of us, from the greatest to the least. I remember hearing about a grandfather who, when he was with his grandchildren, would have a hard time remembering things, sometimes even their names, and they would laugh at him, and they would joke, tease him about it, you know, and he would just smile. And one day one of the grandkids said, "Grandpa, how come when we laugh at you because you can't remember something, how come you smile?" And he says, "Because I know that it's hereditary." People over the years have made jokes about it. My father used to quote a poem. I can't remember the whole poem, but I found out later that it came from Mark Twain. And Mark Twain said this, Samuel Clemens, "Out of all the things I have lost in life, I miss my mind the most. So he said, when I was younger, I could remember anything, whether it had happened or not. He said, but my faculties are decaying now, and soon I shall be so I cannot remember any but the things that never actually happened. You ever go that route? So, you know, losing memory is very different than having memories taken away. We're in a cancel culture right now. And what our cancel culture is trying to do is to remove actual memories and act like they never existed. Why do you suppose there's this big push to tear down statues? What is it in a statue that people want to tear it down? They want to destroy it, dismantle it. What are they trying to do with that? Well, they're trying to destroy parts of the past. Now, some of you may be aware of things like the 1619 Project, of the critical race theory. And what we don't realize is that as these things are being taught to our children, they're taking away actual events and they're putting in their place things that aren't really true. Now, if you say, well, you're just prejudiced against that. No, I'm not. I have in my possession the 1619 Project in its entirety, and it's on a PDF version. And if you're interested in it, I can email this to you, and you can read it yourself. Read it line by line. I also have the critical race theory, word for word, as it appeared in the New York Times. And I have that on PDF. It's not a very large file. It might take you an hour, hour and a half to read the entire thing. But before you make an opinion as far as whether these things are constructive or destructive to America, read it. Find out for yourself. Find out that there's a reason why so far 20 states have banned critical race theory from being taught to our children. Why? Because it's eliminating, it's taking away the foundation of our country, the foundation of our nation. I'll be happy to email those to you. Just let me know. Give me your email address if I don't already have it, and I'll send it to you. But you see, this is why we have things like Memorial Day. This is why we have celebrations to celebrate those individuals that served our country and that died for our country. They remind us of what we never want to happen again. We're told that those who forget history are doomed to relive it, to experience it again, and we don't want to do that. It also reminds us of the tremendous price that was paid for our freedom. Memorial Day reminds us of those individuals that paid that price too. And I would say probably there's not a family here that has not suffered some loss because of war, because of losing a loved one in the military. Might be a father, might be an uncle, might be a brother or a sister or an aunt, that they've lost someone who was willing to put their life on the line so that we would be free. And you know, we owe it to them to keep our memories, to keep their memories alive in our midst. And just to give you an idea of what I mean here and why it's so pervasive, I wrote down some numbers that I thought might be interesting. These are the casualties that took place in the wars that have been fought. In the Revolutionary War, there were 33,000 soldiers that perished. In the War of 1812, there were 7,000 soldiers. The Mexican War, 13,000. Civil War, 980,000 died in the Civil War. Spanish-American, 4,000. World War I, 1,320,000 U.S. soldiers died. In World War II, 1,078,000 soldiers died. The Korean War, 157,000. In Vietnam, 111,000. The Gulf War, 700. Afghanistan and the war in Iraq, which were still, in essence, fighting. There have been over 3,000 soldiers killed, died. And I'm sure that you know someone who has perished in one of those wars. I get a report every once in a while from our graduating class, and it talks about those individuals that have passed away. And I was amazed to see the number of young men that I grew up with and went to school with who died in Vietnam, and I never even knew it. It just has a picture of them, and this person is no longer with us in this world. And what it basically says is that the freedom that we talk about and the freedom that we share and experience is not really free. It comes at a great cost. Since our birth as a nation in 1776, we have fought constantly for our freedom. You know, even though the colonies declared freedom in 1776, they still had to fight for it. It still required them taking up arms and fighting to defend it, because constantly nations were trying to take that freedom away, including Britain and Spain, taking away the freedom. And those who stood up to defend it ended up paying the cost with their possessions and often with their own blood. Throughout our history, we fought for that freedom, and many have paid the ultimate price. And we may wonder, what would cause them to risk their lives? What would cause them to leave the comforts of their home or whatever and stand up for the United States of America, knowing that they were placing themselves in harm? Well, their motivation, first of all, was a love for our country, a love for America, a belief that even though we're not perfect and that many mistakes have been made, that still this is the greatest nation on earth. What other nation are people doing everything they can to get into the country rather than leaving the country? Berlin, there was a wall in Berlin that separated East and West Germany. And that wall was put there to keep the East Germans from leaving. We have just the opposite problem. We have those who are willing to scale walls, swim rivers, do whatever to get into our country. Why? Because of our freedom. Because we are free. Most of us grew up with a belief and a trust in our nation and in God, a God and country, and that they were linked, they were bound together. I mean, how many of us began our school day by standing up and pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and probably also with a prayer to God to bless us and to bless our nation? I'd say virtually all of us here this morning grew up with that memory. Our children won't grow up with that memory. They won't know what that's like. We recognize that this nation is not perfect, but it's still by far the best nation on earth. So a love for our country, and I think that rings in a person's heart. And, you know, I think about my friends who joined the Army or the Marines the day after graduation from high school. And I remember what their motivation was, that we want to defend our country. It wasn't because of the pay. It wasn't for a personal reason. They felt the need to defend our nation, and they were willing to go into the military and lay their lives down. Several years ago, I was asked to speak at a Memorial Day service in Johnson City, Tennessee. And while I was there, I met a pastor whose son had left college and joined the military, and he was sent to Afghanistan. And while he was there, his son was killed, gave his life. And I can remember he gave his testimony, and he said that his son, that this was what his son wanted to do more than anything else, that he wanted to serve God and he wanted to serve his country. And I went over and I shook his hands, and I remember that it hurt me so deeply to know the sacrifice that this man had made because his son had paid the ultimate price. And this father, in a very loving way, looked at me and he just said, "Don't be sad. He did what he felt God was calling him to do." So our loved ones, our young men, our young women, are willing to put their lives on the line to defend something that they hold very dear. And that's the freedom that we enjoy as American citizens. It's also a love for our loved ones, our families, our friends, the thoughts that another nation could come in and put us into servitude, put us into a form of slavery where they use us for their ends, that we no longer have the freedom to do those things that we feel called to do, but we're told what we can do. We don't have to look very far around the world to see that happening. Look at places like Argentina, look at Venezuela, look at any number of nations that have surrendered their freedom for socialism, and where they are right now. They're doing everything they can to leave their countries because they can't take the oppression. Now, we don't want that for our children. We don't want that for our loved ones. And there are those that are willing to step up to the plate and do what has to be done to defend our country and to defend our freedom. Defending freedom is something that's deep in the heart of Americans. I want to read you something that was quoted by, it's a quote from Patrick Henry. And he gave this on March 20th, 1775, and it was given at the Second Virginia Convention. This is just prior to 1776, when our Declaration of Independence was signed. And this is what he said. "It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, 'Peace, peace,' but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it. Almighty God, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Patrick Henry, 1775. How much of that can we identify with today as we have seen and experienced the taking away of our freedoms for the past year? Where's the outcry from Americans who realize that we have sacrificed rights, we've given them over, turned them over, rights that were paid for with blood? You know, in many ways we can relate this to the sacrifice that was made for our salvation. The heart of our Savior, the heart of our Lord was this. He said in the passage that we read this morning, "Greater love has no man than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends." Paying the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. You know, love really means sacrifice. Even that word that we translate love in the New Testament, the word agape or agape. This means I love you in spite of, not I love you because. So many of those individuals that went over and fought in these wars didn't necessarily agree with all the politics. They didn't agree with everything the nation was doing. But they loved our country, and they were willing to stand up and defend it, even to death. This is a selfless love. Greater love has no one than this. John 3:16, we all know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." You see, that's selfless love. That's agape love. Jesus himself was willing to lay down his life that we might have life. You know, we celebrate this every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to celebrate that next Sunday. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper where we remember. And in a sense, it's a memorial to what Jesus has done for us, that he cared enough about us that he was willing to leave heaven and come and be a human being here on earth and go through the suffering that he went through here on earth, not for himself, but for us, that we might have. Who can understand that kind of love? I believe it's one reason why there's so many that reject Christianity and they reject Jesus, because it's like, well, that's too good to be true. That somebody else would sacrifice themselves for things that I did, pay the price that I can't pay. And that's exactly what the Bible says. And that's exactly what Jesus did. I can't understand why these young men who have everything to look forward to are willing to stand up for the United States of America in desperate situations. And my heart goes out to them all the time. And it goes out to the wives and to the mothers and the fathers and brothers and sisters who are there at home praying for them, pleading with God for protection for their loved one. But inside, they know it's what they have to do. We celebrate the death of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. He came to pay the price. He came to die in our place. He broke those bonds of slavery to sin, and he set us free. You know, we read where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom where God's Spirit is. And that's why I believe that there is an intricate bond in the United States of America between God and country. I believe that it was because of the almighty hand of God that we have a nation today, that God has called us to be a nation that would be free enough so that the gospel could be spread, not just coast to coast, but around the world. And that's the function that we serve today in the world, and that is that we are the last beacon, the last hope of freedom. We have to stand up and defend that freedom and not let people take it from us. Jesus broke those bonds of slavery. We should never be enslaved again, ever. And the problem is, so many of us have been terrified by the forces, the powers of government, that we've not been able to stand up. We've not been willing to stand up and incur the wrath of the godless. We're intimidated by the world. You know, we see every once in a while, we see individuals who stand up and we see that they are paying a price, like the pastor in Canada who refused to let the county close him down. And he's paid a price and he's continuing to pay the price. I believe he's in jail right now. But he stands as a testimony to others. Because people are saying, well, where are the churches in all of this? How come churches aren't standing up and being counted? Well, I think in our minds we all hope that somehow God is going to come in, that Jesus will come in and save us from all this. And I've heard so many people say, I wish Jesus would come back soon. Well, what they're saying is, I don't want to have to go through all this. I don't want the pain of watching people suffer and maybe even die. I don't know that I could take that. Yes, you can take it. And we don't know what God's plan is. We don't know what God's plan is for America. I think it's time for all of us to take it seriously and begin to pray. To pray that God will come against those who are trying to destroy our nation. With all my heart, I do not believe that God is finished with America. I don't believe he's finished with the United States. There are many of these so-called prophets that say, well, the United States is never mentioned in the book of Revelation, so it must have already disappeared or must have already gone away. And I don't believe that for a second. I believe God has a purpose in the things that he does. And he has created this country so that his name can be lifted up. We've come to a very dark time in the life of our country. A time when we're going to have to stand up or we're going to be tread underfoot. We can't fear the consequences of what might happen and allow it to shut us down, to stop. But I still believe that the American spirit is alive. I still believe that people are seeing the darkness, they're seeing the corruption, and that they're willing to stand up and be counted and say, we will not allow this to happen again. It's a movement. It's something that's called We the People. We're standing up to remember it. You know, what a terrible thing if we think about all these individuals, and I read the numbers earlier, all these people that, these young men, women, whoever, that gave their lives for this country, for the freedom of this country. How disrespectful is it that we just allow those freedoms to be taken from us and not ourselves fight for them? It's time to stand up and be counted. Now we have an opportunity, even tomorrow, we have an opportunity, first of all, to remember. And so our first challenge is remember to remember. Remember to think about the cost, the price that was paid, so that we can celebrate things like Memorial Day. Remember to remember. Another is that we would observe our holiday, Memorial Day, with reverence and respect. And by that I mean, yeah, it's a great day to have a barbecue, to have some fun. Where I grew up, Memorial Day was always the big day, the first day when you went to the beach and you swam in the ocean. And I can remember many times the temperature of the ocean at that point was 50 degrees. And it would be hot. We'd run out into the ocean. It was like stepping on an iceberg. It was just freezing cold. But we did it because that was Memorial Day. Great day to remember. A good day to have fun. But we can also observe it with great seriousness, remembering the purpose and the reason to honor and to respect those who paid that ultimate price. They deserve our thanks and our appreciation, and they deserve the fact that we will continue to fight for the same thing they died for, and that's freedom. You know, we're going to sing a song, our final hymn, in just a moment. And by the way, it's number 190 and not 390. And that hymn is, What Wondrous Love Is This? And I would ask you this, that as we sing this, if you would pay attention to those words. It's almost like a prayer, but it's a thanksgiving to God for how special he is. It's a great hymn for us to sing on Memorial Day weekend. We have a lot to be thankful for, a tremendous amount. The time has come for us to stand up for what has blessed us so much. And that's the freedom that we have, first of all, because of the patriots that died, but secondly, because of our Savior who died in our place for us. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, we are so thankful and grateful that you cared enough to come to earth and to pay the terrible price that you paid so that we might be set free from our sin. Lord, help us and encourage us to maintain that freedom, to not give in and surrender that freedom to the evil one, but instead to stand strong for you. I pray for our nation. I pray for the United States of America. And Lord, I pray that this spirit of liberation would continue in our hearts, that we would not be placed once again into slavery, but that we would stand strong, that we the people would stand strong and fight against oppression. And we thank you and praise you for your many gifts and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So please turn in your hymnal now to number 190. And we'll sing the first three verses here and then the fourth verse for a benediction response. So please stand and we'll sing these first three verses, number 190, What Wondrous Love Is This?
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.